Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
If you brought your Bibles, go with me tonight to the book of Psalms, chapter 119. Pray for me tonight. I had Mom preach this morning to kind of give my throat a break. And I was telling someone last night, it amazes me how when the Holy Ghost gets on you, it just kind of goes away. But as soon as the anointing lifts, here comes that cough again and the sneezing and everything else. I mean, we left Brother Kenny the CT center last night, my eyes started watering, I started sneezing, I thought, what in the world? Before that, you wouldn't have known there was anything wrong with me, but I know God's going to help me tonight. Once you have found that, if you would stand with me for the reading of the Word, we're going to read one verse of Scripture, so I won't make you stand too long. Psalms chapter 119, and once you've found that, skip all the way down to 117. Psalms chapter 119, verse 117. Here's what David said. Hold thou me up, and I shall be what?
Safe.
I like that. And I will have respect unto thy statutes. How long?
Continually.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word tonight. We ask that you'll bless it. Bless this, your servant, and bless our hearts, minds, and ears to receive it. And we'll always give you thanks and praise, for we ask it all in the holy name of Jesus. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I, just for a few minutes tonight, would like to preach on the thought, safe, but not home yet. Safe, but not home yet. I was 16 years old. A great man of God by the name of Forster Manning took me under his wing. And I think I told this part to you before. He told me, he said, now, Jimmy, I said, I'm going to tell you a very important secret to preaching. And he said, if you'll listen to me, Nedra gets it. If you'll listen to me, you'll have a lot less problems. Okay, what is it? He said, I'm going to give you a recipe for preaching that if you'll follow this recipe, you can go into a Catholic church, you can go into a Baptist church, you can go into a Lutheran church or any other denomination you want to name and preach in them without any fear of controversy. I was all ears, Brother Archie. I'm thinking, yeah, because, you know, from a child, all I ever thought about was going full-time for the Lord. I wasn't thinking about basketball or football or anything else. You know, I was just thinking about, I had heroes. I had spiritual heroes. I seen the Henson family on stage and seen the power fall on Kenny and on Ronnie. And I wanted that, you know. I wanted to be able to bless people by the multitudes and singing. And my, back in that time, I thought people come up to me, Brother Tom, say, you're called to preach. I say, that's fine. When the Lord tells me, I'll accept it. You know, all I wanted to do was sing and play. I didn't want anything to do with preaching. In fact, I had told the Lord one time, Lord, don't you ever call me to preach. I was very backward. You put me behind a piano, it was different. I had something to hide behind, you know. But when you preach, you got to get out there and you got all these mean faces looking back at you. And I didn't want any part of that. You know, and so anyway, I said, Lord, I don't want any part of it. So Brother Forster Manning, he said, I'm going to give you the secret. He said, as long as you stay in the Word, and as long as what's coming out of your mouth is from the Word, you can preach anywhere. And he took me back for a minute. I thought, well, okay. And, you know, I thought there was more. And he's like, then he helped me to understand what he was saying. In other words, they can't argue with the Word of God. But if you deviate from the Word of God and you start putting Jimmyisms in there and meddling where you shouldn't be meddling, then it's going to cause you problems. Now, I'm going to be honest and admit, I have not always stuck to the plan, and I've paid for it. We were preaching one night, and we were holding revival, in fact, one night in Kentucky, and I was a young preacher. I started out good. I did exactly what he told me to do, preached several messages just like that. Man, I would go home and Jesse, I would spend 2 hours at a time locked in Mom's room memorizing chapters of the Bible, memorizing them. I took it literal, you know. Okay, I'm going to stay in the Word. So I'd get up, I'd take a text, I'd give him my thought, and I'd start quoting the Bible. Man, people get up and shout to the Word, you know. I'd say, hey, this works. I got in Kentucky one night, and I got my first experience of the Holy Ghost leading me. See, he didn't tell me this part. I guess maybe he wanted me to find that out on my own. But I had my first experience of the Holy Ghost leading me in a different direction. So I started preaching on the Word, and I felt the Spirit say this. And right away, Brother Tracy, I thought, oh, wait a minute, that's not Scripture. I was out of my comfort zone, you know. And so I ignored it. And I went on quoting chapters. Again, Holy Ghost said, I said, say this. Whew. All right. And I was a preaching and anointing was on me. And I said, and some of you people got your pickup trucks and you put your beagle dogs in the front seat with you and make your wife ride in the back. And I had about three guys in the back just staring holes through me. I thought, oh, man, I'm dead now. We gave the altar call and all three of them men come to the altar. And I seen a couple of them at the end of the service go to their wives and hug their necks. See, the Lord knew what he was doing. And if I was trying to, Brother Mark, you know, analyze the situation, you know. But what he said is true. So many times, if we're not careful, we can get out of the Word of God and we can just upset the whole apple cart. But I said all that to say this. He had another saying. He always said this, Brother Archie. He said, I'm saved, but I'm not safe. I'm saved, but I'm not safe. And my thought tonight is I'm safe, but I'm not home yet. I'm safe. Why am I safe? Because I'm saved, but I'm not home yet. And as I began to think on this, I thought, Lord, that's a very peculiar, odd thought to give. And he said, yes, and I'm going to take it a little bit farther in the odd. He said, I want you to break it down just like this. He said, I want you to study this out, and I want you to educate yourself on the sport of baseball. All right. So I'm going to give you what I found out here. And I'm going to tie it to the spiritual, okay? Because that's the direction the Lord told me to go. The two things that stood out to me that the Lord was dealing with me on is in the sport of baseball, there's two things that really popped at me. The base coach and the runner. The base coach and the runner. Now, the base coach tells the base runner when to hold up. Anybody knows anything about baseball? You get a hit, not a foul ball, but you get a hit, the runner takes off running. Now, sometimes these guys get a little overexcited, and they think they can make it to second. That's where the base coach comes into play. He knows better. He knows whether to tell them to keep going or hold up. How many know sometimes in the house of God, people can get overexcited? Hello. Hey, I had to learn lessons early in my life. I would feel the Lord putting something in my spirit, and I thought I had to jump up right then and there and do it in front of the whole church, and it would kill the spirit. Spirit would be riding high, Brother Gene. People would be shouting, worshiping the Lord. And I would see people get up and they would do that. And the spirit would just die. Flat out die. Now, what that person had to say was good. And God gave it to them. But they had to learn the hard way that there's a time and a place to give it. And the time and the place to do something like that is not when the spirit's moving and riding high. And so I said that to say this, the Holy Ghost, if we allow him, will let us know when to hold up and when to take second. But we got to be willing to listen to that. And so these runners, if they're paying attention to their base coach, they're going to know whether to hold up or keep on running. The other thing about a base runner is he should always, should being the key word, he should always listen to the base coach's instructions. Now, why is that? Well, again, we tie it into the spiritual. Why is it, you think, that we should always listen to the direction of the Holy Ghost? Anybody got a thought? I'll just let you shout it out. Don't be shy.
Oh, if you don't listen, you're going the wrong direction.
Okay. Any other? Listen to this. If we don't follow the instruction of the Holy Ghost, like Mom said, we could go in the wrong direction. That's true. But if we're not listening to the instruction of the Holy Ghost and do it the way he says to do it, we can hurt people. Even though we mean well, we can cause confusion, Brother Gene. I've seen it happen so many. I actually seen churches split over that. Years ago, there was a person who came to a pastor, and he said, when are you going to address this situation? And I'm not going to tell you what the situation was, but it kept happening in every service, practically. Maybe not every service, but enough to where it was annoying. And it said, when are you going to handle this situation? Now, first of all, that person was out of line because God knows how to talk to that pastor.
That's
Okay? So that person took it upon themselves. They're going to school the pastor. They're going to get ahead of the pastor and help the pastor do his job. All right? But what happened was the pastor said, well, I'm praying about it. I'm praying about it. That was okay the first couple times. Person came back. Now, when are you going to do something? I'm praying about it. The person got mad, left the church, took their family with them. People started asking questions. Why did brother so-and-so leave and take his family? Well, you know how people get to yakking back and forth. By the time it was done, half the church was gone. Half the church left because that person didn't think the pastor moved fast enough. Now, I said all that to say this. The person that caused all of that was the one that was out of order. And the whole time the pastor was praying, Lord, how do I handle this situation? Because I know brother so-and-so is upset about this and sister so-and-so is upset about this. But at the same time, I don't want to say something to discourage this person because they're just now trying to learn how to follow the leading of the Spirit. And they've not been in this thing for very long. And I've got to handle this with kid gloves. All right? But when somebody gets out of line with the Holy Ghost, and in this little story I just shared with you, there were two people that got out of line. The first one who kept standing up and was out of order, and the second one who took it upon themselves to school the pastor. So we got to know when to hold up, and the only way we can know how to hold up is to listen to the spiritual base coast, which in this case is the Holy Ghost. Amen. And if we're willing to listen to his instructions, we'll get the job done the right way. Now, I want to share something with you. This is the second thing that stood out to me. Now, there's a person here tonight. If I was to call on him, bring him up here, he could tell you probably anything you want to know about baseball, and that's Mr. Bob Palmer right here. He knows sports pretty well. But I want to share what God's put on my heart that popped because I believe it goes with this thought tonight. It really stood out to me like a neon light, and that's probably not going to mean nothing to him. He's probably known it for years. But dummy me, I'm not schooled in this stuff. The first thing that popped out to me is there's a first-line base coach and there's a third-line base coach, but there's no second base coach. And that was the very first thing I asked the Lord, brother. I said, oh, wait a minute, I'm confused here. I'm studying all this. I ain't finding nothing about a second base coach. So I'm beginning to dig on it, you know. And I found out several things about it, but the one that really stood out to me was if they put a second line base coach out in the field of play, he would be in the way. Oh, that's preaching grounds right there. How many has ever heard somebody say, bless God, I've been saved for 50 years? Bless God, I've been in this way for 45 years. And somebody said if they'd get out of the way, God could have his way. And I got thinking about that, and I thought that makes a lot of sense. The other thing the Lord showed me about that was the valley of decision. The Holy Ghost is a perfect gentleman. Brother Tom, he does not force himself on anybody. He gives us instruction on every hand, Brother Gene. We got a first-line base coach, which tells that first runner, if he gets a good hit, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself here. I'm going to lay some good things on you here the Lord give me. But if he gets a good hit, he's instructed to run with all of his might. Okay? Don't hold up. Don't let up. Just run with all the power you got. That third line base coach, he's got one thing in mind, to get that man from third to home plate. Did you get that? You didn't get it like I got it. When I was at home, I was shook up about that one. The Holy Ghost on first base is saying, run with all your might. The Holy Ghost on third base is saying, you're almost home. Just wait for my command. But on second base, there's something else going on there. And I'm going to refer to it as the valley of decision. You got a first line base coach who has instructed you. You got a third line base coach who's instructing you. But you got to make the decision whether you're going to listen to those instructions. They also got, what is it, signs they use? Signals, yeah. So here you are, you're on second base. Guess whose choice it is? There's no second baseline coach. Are you getting this? Is it really connecting yet? Our God that we serve is so loving and so kind. He cares about us so deeply. But the one thing that he refuses to do, Brother Gene, is force us to serve him. You ever wondered why so many people start out so strong? Well, let me just read the verse. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? You ever wonder why some people start out so good, but somewhere in the middle, before they can get to third plate, they're in la-la land? I like to put it this way. They're the group known as, I'll have my cake, and I'll eat it too. No, you won't. Not if God has anything to say about it. So you got the first line base coach. Now let me just share some things with you about the first line base coach and what he does. Number one, listen to this, and I want you to think in the spiritual vernacular, okay? He encourages the runner, I love this, to hustle down first baseline on infield hits. Now, if you don't know what an infield hit is, it's not a very powerful hit, but it's a strong enough hit to get you to first base if you hustle down the line. If you don't hustle, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get out. The second thing he does is he reminds the runner, and I love this, of the number of outs. A good pastor or evangelist or preacher or teacher will always point to the signs. They'll say, hey, keep your eyes on the sky. Be alert. What did Jesus say? Wherefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, what? The Son of Man cometh. So he's shouting out the outs. He's saying, hey, stick him down. This was fulfilled. That was fulfilled. I just told you not too long ago here at the church, keep your eye on Damascus. That's another prophecy getting ready to be fulfilled. Somebody said, how in the world can that be fulfilled in the day and age in which we live? Simple. All it takes is a simple nuclear strike, and it's a wasteland for many years. You can figure out the rest. The next thing the first baseline coach does is he instructs the runner when to take an, listen to this, an extra base and when to round the first base, but hold up. See, a runner don't have really the capacity, if he's running with all of his might, to be able to tell where that ball's at and how far he can go. That's the job of that baseline coach. And like I said earlier, some of them get overexcited and they think they can make it to second if they're not listening to instructions. And that baseline coach says, hold up! And he keeps it going. Guess what's going to happen? He's going to get out. Now we're out number two. Finally, he tells the runner how far to go on pop flies. Now, I had a problem with this too. For years, I said, and you're probably going to laugh at me, but I said, why? Nobody would ever answer this question for me. They say why it's in the rules, but they never answer why. Why does a runner have to go back and tag the base? How's that fair? I never got it until the spiritual end kicked in. You're going to like this. This really got me going. This, the rule book says because it presents an unfair advantage to the outfielder. What do you mean, Brother Jimmy? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Because in Hebrews chapter 11, the very last verse says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Because God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect or complete. Did you connect the dots there? Don't act like you did, I tell you. What he's saying, folks, is this thing's not going to be wrapped up. We're not going to be united with the groom until the early church and the Latter-day Rain church come together as one before the King of Kings. Therefore, it doesn't prevent an unfair advantage. That's why Hebrews said what he said there. And Hebrews said, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made complete. That's what that word perfect there means. Well, Lord, I thought for sure they'd been shouting on that one. Okay, the responsibilities of the third line base coach. Here's what they include. The third line base coach is responsible for sending the runners home or hold, listen to this, holding them up at third base until it's time to go home. You're shaking your head, you're getting it now, okay? We always say, well, Sister Rosemary done went on. They sent her to home plate. But Arch said, Lord, I'm still stuck here on third. He says, hold on, Brother Archie. I'm just waiting to give you a clear pass. See, Brother Archie, when you started out, you was in your 20s when you hit first base. You got to second base, you was in the prime of your life, brother. Now you're on third and your steps are a little bit slower. So you got to wait. God knows just when the time is right. We question him many times and we say, Lord, why? I questioned God when he took my mother-in-law. Because I looked at her like I look at my mom. She was a spiritual giant. And in comparison to other people, I couldn't understand why he chose to take her home, especially the way that he did. I had a hard time with that for a long time. Till my wife came across the scripture in the Old Testament prophets. And just to put it in our own vernacular, he said, Sister Maximilia, sometimes the Lord removes the righteous to spare them from trouble that lies ahead. I never even knew that was in there. When she found that, we both rejoiced. Well, you know what that proves? Just that one little simple scripture was enough to prove to me God's ways are far above my ways and his thoughts far above my thought. We was at men's fellowship. Me and Brother Tom come to help me cook. We were sitting there. We had a good time talking before everybody got there. I said, Brother Tom, I just want to tell you, man, I appreciate you coming to help me. He said, oh, man. He said, I was supposed to be hunting, but he said, man, I'm here. He said, you know, he said, the way I look at it, your boss is more powerful than mine. I got a kick out of that. We need more people that excited about working for God. Hey, he's a hunter. He likes to hunt. If he'd be honest with you, he would have much rather been hunting than cooking eggs for the men, you know. But I thank God for people like that. We got a good group of people in this church. And I'll deviate from this for just a minute to say this. I have had multiple compliments, not just by people who come and go, but by other pastors. My own pastor, Pastor Tim Walden, when he came here and preached the homecoming, he said, Jimmy, he said, you got a great group of people. He said, you can tell they love you. That meant a lot to me, coming from him. But I've heard a lot of people say this, and this is what means even more than that. Multiple people have told me, he said, they say, you can feel such a love. One person told me, at first I thought, you know, the way they responded to me is they were thinking, is this for real? But they said, practically everybody in the church come back and shook my hand and told me that they was glad I was here. And I was like, well, they meant it. And the person looked at me and said, you know what? I know they meant it because I've been in churches where they didn't mean it. It was just an act. And I told somebody just today, I said, me and Crystal's biggest goal, other than the Holy Ghost having his way here, second biggest goal was this, that this church will be known for its love and compassion for everybody that walks through that door. Second thing that the third base coach's job is to let the runners know whether, and I love this one too, whether to slide into third or to come in standing up. I quoted it earlier. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And, here comes the slide, the dead in Christ shall rise up first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Boy, that's definitely shouting ground. Now you can imagine by that time, I don't know if my wife heard me or not, but my shirt was going like this, man. I couldn't hardly sit still, and I was thinking about that. I thought, I'm so ready to go. I got tongue-tied on the radio today. That's all I could think to say is, I'm so ready to go. After every song, I'm so ready to go. That's all I could I'm just ready to go. And I had this message on my mind. I'm thinking, man, if I could just preach this message, which I haven't, I can tell. Well, I've excited you a little bit here and there. But if you was getting it like the Lord gave it to me, you would have done been off the pew. The next thing the third base coach did, he assists the runners. Listen to this. He assists the runners when tagging up by letting them know when to run. That's important. Without the assistance of the Holy Ghost. I'll give you an example. 2 weeks ago, Sunday morning, we had a gully washer here. I turned around, I was up here. Some of you might have heard me say it. I looked at Crystal and said, I don't know what to do. You know the best thing to do in a situation like that? Shut your mouth and just pray. Just praise God. What I mean by shut your mouth is don't try to do something. Just magnify God. Yeah. Just praise God. Because those of you that were here 2 weeks ago that Sunday morning when we were singing those praise and worship services, there wasn't hardly anybody sitting on their pew, Sister Shahira, that wasn't up praising God and magnifying God. I had never been in a service like that before in my life. Now, my mom says she'd been to something like that. I've never been in one quite like that. And all I could think of was Sister Maximilia, boy, this is just a taste. Just a taste of what it's going to be like in heaven. And so he will assist us if we'll allow him to do that. And the last thing, he reminds the runners, and this is repeated, same as the first line base coach, he reminds the runners of the number of outs. He reminded the early church. Now he's reminding the Latter-day church. And he's saying, see those lights, Brother Archie, on the edge of the shoreline? She's waving at you. Come on home. Hallelujah. Brother Gene, if we just look off into the distance, there's no dirt on home plate. It's shining. Jesus got down there with the broom. I've seen him do that too. He got down there with that broom and he just swept it off clean. He don't want anybody to miss it. He's saying, come on home, children. Come on home. The Father's about to give the signal. The voice of the archangel's about to shout, come up hither. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go. Stand with me tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're safe. We're safe. That's what they say when they go to first base. Safe! Baseline coach says, go ahead and steal second. Slides in and says, safe! What do you mean he's safe? I can just hear the devil now. Same thing with third base, but the one I'm waiting to hear, Brother Tom, is when my feet touch his home plate. And Jesus looks at the devil and he says, he's safe. Period.
I'm going on home. I'm going on home. I dreamed of heaven and I'm waiting much too long. And when he calls me that happy day, I ain't gonna walk around and make it right way. When he calls me to his throne, I'm going on home. Lord, I've walked a long hard road. The times appear such a heavy load. Dark clouds covered up my path the whole day long. Shining sun at last. Have anybody in the singing song? Cause I'm going on home. I'm going on home. I'm going on home. I've dreamed of heaven and I've waited much too long. When he calls me that happy day, I ain't gonna walk around and make you vibrate. When he calls me to his throne, I'm going. Then I'll look on Mama's face. Told me Jesus and his saving grace. Things she taught me made me want to keep traveling on. Well, I thank you for my time and gold, but you promised me heaven and I'm ready to go. I don't want nothing to slow me down, cause I'm going on home. I'm going on home. I'm going on home. I've dreamed of heaven and I've waited much too long. And when he calls me that happy day, when he calls me to his throne, I'm going on.
Hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haney and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.